You know, you get to learn all kind of things.
All impressionable.
Yeah, oh yeah, I love it.
From the very first verse of Genesis, all the way, leads to Revelation.
Everything leading to
all
Revelation.
All roads lead to Revelation.
All right, chapter 23. I think we made it to chapter 23 last week. It reads, "And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. For sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they that stood by said, Revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, I knew not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. And like Brother Harden noticed, he didn't say Paul repented. He just said.
No, he didn't apologize.
He didn't apologize, but verse 6. But when Paul perceived that the one part of the were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, and I am called in question. Now, when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. Jesus once said that when they bring you to the councils, don't think about what you're going to say. It'll be revealed to you what to say. The Holy Spirit can reveal to us how to respond. Now, Paul had options. He always had options of what to do and say. And when the Holy Spirit, when you pay attention to him, he'll show you your best option. And this is what Paul did. He acknowledged that he was a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, am I calling in question? That stirred up everything. And he used the situation to his advantage. And the Holy Spirit will help you do the same thing in life. And, you know, we were in question whether Paul should have went to Jerusalem or not. But the Lord can take a situation and use it. He's going to take every situation he has and do the best he can with it. And in paying attention to the Holy Spirit, I learned that about him. He doesn't get moved in emotions like men do. He's the same all the time. And he always knows how to handle the situation. And that's why as you trust him and have faith in him, always look at him, not the situation, look at him. Amen. And then with faith, everything takes time. Faith, sometimes we expect faith to just move a situation instantly, and it can. But sometimes there's a process with it. And you have to stay in faith, being patient with it until the whole process is complete. So Paul did something here that was wise. It was sanctioned by the Holy Spirit. And it did exactly what it was supposed to do. In verse 7 he said, And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. His enemies that was once one to come against him were now divided. And that gave him an instant advantage. Just like the Tower of Babel. They were one. Then God confounded their language and they were divided. And they left the work and went on and moved all over the earth like they should have. Unregenerated man can't be trusted to be together in one place. Because Satan, he'll stir up a leader and kill all of them. And cause all of them to be destroyed. So, you know, in Revelation it said that, John said, there'll be no more sea. And I said, well, why? Why would God get rid of the oceans? The oceans and the deserts is a divider. so man can't quickly come together and start a war. So that when Jesus reigned on earth, that won't be it won't be necessary to divide mankind. But here it was necessary, just like the oceans exist, to keep us alive, to so he'll have something to come back to. Because man can't be trusted like that. You need different nations, and you need every nation is necessary. And it'll work together just like this court did for Paul. I mean, and he said, for the Sadducees say, there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees part arose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. And now he went to Jerusalem, he went to jail, he's in the courts now, and now he's going to be put back in his element. See, Rome is Gentiles. You know, his anointing was designed for Gentiles, and now he's going back to Rome. And he'll do a work there. Verse 12, and when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul.
Here we go.
I like what Ray said.
Going to commentary.
Yeah. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse, that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now therefore, ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfectly concerning him, and we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him. And when Paul's sister's son heard they're lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul, the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who hath something to say unto thee. And the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, what is this thou hast to tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldst bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire something of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee. So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, see thou tell no man that thou hast showed these things to me. And he called unto him 2 centurions, that's 200 soldiers, saying, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and the horsemen 60 and spearmen 200. At the third hour of the night. That's a lot of soldiers.
Yeah, to protect one man.
That's 2 centurions, 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen. Verse 24, and provide them beasts that they may set Paul on and bring him safe to Felix the governor. And he wrote a letter after this manner, Claudius, Lysias unto the most excellent governor Felix, sendeth greeting. This man was taken of the Jews and should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. And when I would have known the cause wherefore they accused him, I brought him forth into their council, whom I perceived to be accused of questions of their law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bonds. And when it was told me how that the Jews laid in wait for the man, I sent straightway to thee and gave commandment to his accusers, so also to say before thee what they had against him. Farewell. Then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. On the morrow they left the horsemen to go with him and returned to the castle. 33, who when they came to Caesarea and delivered the epistle to the governor, presented Paul also before him. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was. And when he understood he was of Cilicia, I will hear thee, said he, and thine accusers are also come. And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. So Paul was rescued by the division that the Holy Spirit gave and the wisdom of God. A lot of times people don't get that far because they make another judgment call. When the Holy Spirit gives you something, it's going to work. But if you do something else, it's not going to work. In the book of Joshua and Judges, the Lord would always tell, when they would go to war, he'd say, the Holy Spirit on several occasions told them, let Judah go first. They asked the Lord who should go first. And then he said Judah should go first. When Judah went first, they won. All right, when they killed the man's concubine, a war started, and they were going to go against the Benjamites. And they said, who should go up first? And the Lord said, Judah should go up first. But they didn't. But Israel went up, and Benjamin won two times because they didn't let Judah go up first. The council voted no, and we're going to do it this way. And every time people listened to the Holy Spirit throughout the whole Word of God, they had good success. But when they voted him out and did something else, they had problems. And this also worked, this fight, and it ended up working against disobedience, because that kind of disobedience was destroyed. And the people that gave that kind of influence was destroyed. And the Lord is relentless about his covenant, and he's very serious about it. You have to build on a foundation, or it's not going to work. When the Holy Spirit gives counsel, you're building on a foundation that will stand. And we see this kind of wisdom with that Paul is using in these days. When the Holy Spirit came to comfort him, or when Jesus appeared to him and told him something, he always went along with it. And he made adjustments along the way. You know, as we start off following God, we don't always agree with him. Sometimes it makes us wonder. Anytime he told me to do something, and I ask some questions so I can get kind of like Gideon. You want to be one with it. Gideon put out those fleeces because he wanted to be sure. He wanted to stay in unity with God. Well, we don't put out fleeces, but we can believe the words of the Holy Spirit. And when we do, it's going to work. I asked my son, I said, when you look in the mirror, what do you see? He said, well, me. And I know. I said, what do you see? He said, me. I said, you don't see God, do you? No. But your faith does. And he's standing, he's always standing right there with you. Kenneth Hagin once said, he said, he used to confess that God is more real to him than the car he was driving. And the more he said that, the more aware he was that the Lord was right there with him. So when you're in a crisis, you know that he's right there with you. We see Paul in a crisis, and whatever he said could have worked for or against him, but he stuck with the knowledge of God. Am I out of time? We made it to verse 24. We'll pick up at 24 next time. I love these stories. This is what, when we acknowledge the wisdom of God in our lives, we're gonna have perfect success. And as every time we do that, that's what we're building on a strong foundation. Okay, we'll pick up at 24 next week. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all the teachers here. I thank you for all the wisdom that you're gracing us with. Bless us to do all that's in your heart, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.